Oh, yeah. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. That's the Punjabi language call of Nick Bonino's game-winning goal in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals. What a Stanley Cup thrill ride it's been. Playing in the Stanley Cup Final, and I should clarify that it's singular, Stanley Cup Final will have a great impact on the players, the owners, and the league. But what is the financial impact of the Penguins' playoff appearance going to have on Pittsburgh? I'm joined now by phone by Ron Dick, Associate Professor of Sports Marketing at Duquesne University. Ron, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Great to be back, Paul. Good afternoon.
Are you enjoying this Stanley Cup run by the Penguins?
Yes, I am. It's been two close wins. Building's electric, and they are very excited. And now we move on to Game 3 in the Shark Tank in San Jose. I've been there. That's going to be an intensive Game 2. And their fans are just as rabid as ours. And, you know, it just shows you the difference between winning and losing can be just so slight. But yet the feelings and the emotions are so Grand Canyon-ish different. You know, I mean, they look the press coming off the ice. And then the fans and the players are just elated. It's so great to win those really close games. You go either way.
Well, it certainly is a morale boost for everybody who is following it and enjoying the vicarious thrill of following the Penguins during this cup run. But there's a more tangible impact, a residual effect of all of this on the city of Pittsburgh, and that has to do with the money that this is bringing to the city. How does this translate, this event, translate into... Right. A generation of income for the city of Pittsburgh, a windfall, perhaps, if some people view it?
You know, sports economics, economists, they try to measure this with many different formulas. And, you know, liars use numbers and numbers lie. We're obviously into the millions of dollars. Each one of these home games is like a three-hour commercial on how great Pittsburgh is. And the ones we can see, the heads and the beds, as we say in the business, meaning how many people get here by trains, planes, and automobiles. They have to sleep somewhere. They have to eat somewhere. They have to use an Uber, a taxi, a public transportation to get there. They have to park their car. They have to pay to park. The ticket people, it creates additional salaries and revenues for certain employees of that industry. And, yeah, that's about where it is. As far as the league is concerned, if you've ever wondered, like, who pays the commissioner his salary? Well, and all the front office people in New York City. Well, it always comes out of the television money and the tickets. Some of the ticket sales money, the league office takes their piece off the top, and that's how they run the league. That's how the governance of the league takes place. Hats, shirts, you know, I've never seen a city that has people that wear more of the uniforms of the Penguins, obviously every Sunday in the fall, with the Steelers and the Pirates. Half these people would be walking around nude if it wasn't for those three franchises. And in some cases, I don't know if that's a good idea. So I've also never seen a city that doesn't license it too closely, meaning there's a lot of underground stuff that Joey Bag of Donuts is making in his basement with a T-shirt that we then sell at the Roberto Clemente Bridge, you know, and no one seems to really crack down on that too much. So certain people are making a nice little profit off this, and let us not forget the ticket sales. The Penguins have some of the highest ticket sales in the league, and there's a feeling that because I know this is really hard for Pittsburgh people to understand this, but hockey's by far the most minor of the four major sports. Meaning that television revenue is nowhere near as strong as the revenue that we make off certainly any of the other three major sports, in particular the Steelers. So they think, you know, they have to offset that by kind of jacking up the prices. I mean, the face value of some of these tickets is over $300 a piece.
Go ahead, Ron.
The COLA, the cost of living adjustment. If you look at what they charge in San Jose on StubHub, I saw the lowest price ticket was $900 a ticket.
I was just
here in Pittsburgh. The lowest price ticket on StubHub was $300 or $297. I saw the other day, so it's three times the price. And of course, San Jose is about 35 miles from San Francisco, which is one of the most expensive cities in the world to live in. So that's kind of the COLA, cost of living adjusted. So I hope no Penguin fans actually want to go to San Jose to buy tickets, because you're going to play a lot more there.
Well, what if a Penguin fan wants to? I mean, a lot of people now are looking at the next game that's going to be played in Pittsburgh, which is Game 5.
Makes you think it's going to be a Game 5?
Well,
you have your brooms out?
This is not me saying this, Ron. I'm saying this is what most people are assuming. Even Nick Bonino said, we hope to win one of the two games in San Jose. My point being that a week from today would be Game 5.
Right.
Would, if the Penguins come back leading 3-1, which would be the game that people would be eyeing as the clincher. And the Stanley Cup has never been won by the Penguins on home ice. The three previous Stanley Cups have all been on the road. So let's say you're a guy or a woman or a young person who decides that they want to go see that game, and this is the chance of a lifetime. How much do you suppose somebody's going to pay for a ticket then? Are you going to
$500? $500 a ticket.
Are you going to the scalpers to get that ticket, or where are you getting that ticket?
What choice do you have? If you don't have season tickets, you don't have a choice but to buy off the secondary market. I mean, if you're not a season ticket holder, you don't have a partial plan, you didn't renew it. You know, if you did have a season ticket, how else are you going to get tickets?
So anybody who's thinking about this, they should know that the going rate is going to be at least $500 June 9th.
Game 5, definitely. And Game 7, don't even think you can get into the building for less than $700.
Oh, so every time, with every game, it increases.
It is simple economics of supply and demand. Everybody and his mother wants to say that they were there when the Pens clinched a Stanley Cup for the first time ever in Pittsburgh history. If there is 100,000 people that want to be in a building that holds 18 or 19,000 people, that price is going to go through the ceiling. And unlike 1991 or 92, we have the technology that can bring buyer and seller together through Vivid Seats, through StubHub, Geek Seats. There's lots of avenues to explore this, and it's like, how much will you pay? How bad do you want to go? I paid extra money to go see Amy Schumer at Consol Energy. Some guy bought it for $80, and he charged me $1.80. So somebody made $100 off me per ticket for Amy Schumer, because my wife said, I want to go.
But unlike,
how bad do you want to go? She said, bad.
Ron, let me jump in. Unlike Amy Schumer, there's no guarantee with the Penguins. You could pay all that money and think, oh, I'm going to be sitting here watching the clincher, and they could lose. So
That's right. And then it's almost like a bad bet. So then that rolls into Game 6, and that rolls into Game 7. You're kind of chasing your tail financially.
Yeah, then you're flying to San Jose.
Unless it's the WWF, we don't know in advance who's going to win. Isn't that what makes it so great?
We're talking with Ron Dick. He's a professor of sports marketing at Duquesne University, about the economic impact of the Penguins playing in the Stanley Cup final. Ron, can you explain, and I'm sure maybe some of this has to do with marketing, unlike the Super Bowl, the World Series, Stanley Cup final, NBA finals, they're plural in their title. It doesn't have the allure of those other, you know, it's not the Olympics. It's not the Super Bowl. So talk about how the marketing of the title of the series, like, for example, there's this huge signage now on Consol Energy Center that says Stanley Cup Final. And then tonight out in the Bay Area,
Golden State,
it's going to be NBA Finals. Did they do that on purpose, that they differentiate between one is plural and one is singular? Is that a marketing thing?
To be completely honest, I think the leagues are kind of happy when these things go 6 or 7 games, right? Because that's additional revenues to them. Now, I would hope they would never want the integrity of the game to be in question, and I don't know that it has. But, the more they string these out, the more we can do it. There's more revenue to be made, but you're also seeing how the Stanley Cup, I mean, this thing might be not done until June 15th. And didn't it just start on Monday, Memorial Day? So it takes us 16 days to play 7 games. Whereas you saw earlier in the Western Final, the Eastern Final, and then the semifinals, because you had so many more teams playing, they were able to play just about every other day, right? And then they maximized their television revenue. It's all about the television more than anything. And they're able to create a lot more revenue that way. And you notice, like, some of the nights that are really preferred, Monday night's a big night, Sunday afternoon's a nice night. They kind of lay off a Friday if they can, because that's a travel day for a lot of people. So they strategically pick 8 o'clock, and you say, well, why do they pick 8 o'clock? And some of the other games were 7. Well, if it's 8 o'clock here, it's 5 o'clock on the left coast, and you want to maximize that. You know, people are just getting done work, and so they can then pop on the game at 5 o'clock, their time, especially if you're playing a team from California. So that's why they do all that. But that is all well thought out, strategized. What time do we start the game? What days of the week do we want to play? What day is a travel day for the players? They measure all of that.
And they're using 2 days between games because when they switch from the East Coast or the eastern part of the United States here in Pittsburgh out to the West Coast, because that's a long trip. We've got about a minute left, and I
and as you know, in the NFL, very few West Coast teams can come east and beat East Coast teams. That's a statistical fact, also. So it's easier for the Pens to go from east to west than it is San Jose to go west to east.
All right, we're down to 30 seconds now, Ron. 30 seconds.
Okay.
We were talking about Nick Bonino at the start. You know, this whole HBK line, Primanti's has capitalized on that. They sell a sandwich based on, the HBK line, which is Bonino, Kessel, and Hagelin, or Hagelin, Bonino, Kessel to go in order. So, I mean, how good are Pittsburgh businesses at just coming up with those things like a sandwich based on the popular line or, you know, whatever it may be? And we're down to about 20 seconds here.
Yeah, well, I mean, Pittsburgh's known for Primanti's, right?
Right.
Pierogies and Primanti's. So for them to come up with, don't they also have a Ben Roethlisberger sandwich? I mean, whatever's hot at the moment, you can go with it. And the people selling the T-shirts do the same thing. Whatever's hot, they can get that T-shirt done in their basement in no time.
Ron Dick
for $5. So yeah, that's a simple marketing technique that obviously has legs.
Ron Dick is an associate professor. I got to jump in. I have to jump in, Ron. We're out of time, but you've been a wealth of information. Ron Dick is an associate professor of sports marketing at Duquesne University, talking about the economic impact of the Penguins' Stanley Cup run. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Paul. God bless, and go Pens.
Thanks for listening. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.